Morning, Jefferson.
Morning, Jeff. Morning.
Morning. Morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Matero.
Colin. Valerie, are we?
I'm okay.
Yes, the meeting is called. I think you can start the meeting. Just one thing, Chair. I've noticed that there are people signing in without stating their names. And we need that for record purposes, please. Someone is signed in on the iPad, and then there's one with a numbered initial. So we need to know who people are in the meeting, Chair.
The number is
E10-5351. Yes, Chen, there's another person. There just says iPad, and we need to know who people are. Thanks, Chair.
And we have June.
yes, Chair.
But meeting can't correct without the Chair greeting me.
No, you are right. Malia, take these people out. Or they must correct. Jamba.
Mangete.
Nijani ba.
Uyaphila Mangete. Ma ukhona nami khona.
Mangete akuna jambas la. Akuna jambas la.
So ngaqhubeka. Ma umangene khona.
Mangete.
Akuna
jambas la.
But Jefferson, you can't just greet one member of the portfolio committee. Jefferson, you must greet us all. Good morning, everybody. As I've said, good morning, us all.
Oh,
Macaroni Agudi, the Macaroni Agudi.
Thank you very much.
Absheni Chaperson.
Absheni, Deputy Minister.
Mifuke sa hombe sana.
Sifukile.
Remind me to tell you the story of Ifukile at our own laser app. That's why I'm laughing. Good morning, everybody, all colleagues on the platform, all officials on the platform. Good morning.
I don't hear
good morning, Chair. Good morning, DM.
Yes, Chair, apologies. There are members who are not muted. Chair, can we, the apologies, the minister has load shedding in his area. That is... Chair, we still have the apologies from Mr. Wunsinger, Mr. Luchungu, and Mr. Yabu. Then the apology came through at 11 last night from the RTR board chairperson, Mazulu, that sent an apology through. I've emailed it to you just after 11 last night, so it should be in your inbox. That is it from my side, Chair.
Thank you very much. Apologies must be sent to Valerie so that we really don't apologize in the meeting. I think that is the norm. That apologies must be sent to an office because we have an office. I think we must get used to that. Who's the chairperson?
Ukhetha Mabaso.
Okay, Mondise.
Angixolise the chair ukuthi bengithi ngizothumelela manje ukuthi ngikhona emhlanganweni kodwa ngicela ukuphuma ngo-past 12.
Okay, that is accepted. I think Honorable Ramatwa has also requested to leave at 11:30. We know to that. Thank you very much. The minister has requested that we should start with RAF, Am I correct, Valerie?
That's correct, Chairperson.
And then after RAF, it will be RTMC?
No, Chair, it will first be RTR, then RTMC.
Okay, RTMC becomes the last. And unfortunately, now the minister is having load shedding, but it's fine. Do we have the DG in the meeting?
He's not online, Chair. There was an apology submitted.
I have to do it a bit later after the meeting.
There was an apology submitted of the...
Yes, Chair.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think let's, without any waste of time, welcome everybody from the colleagues, honorable members. Is Honorable Mabena with us today?
Chair, I don't see Mr. Mabena on the meeting, and the apology that we received was for the 5th and the 6th of May.
Oh, okay. Everybody, welcome. Welcome the officials of the Portfolio Committee, officials of the Minister, Deputy Minister, and your officials from the Department of Transport. If we have any media people here or any guests, you are heartily welcome. We are going to have three presenters today. That is Archia, RTMC and RAF. So RTMC will start, RAF will start now up until 10:30. And I wish to request that at 10 o'clock, you should bring back the reins to me so that we can engage for the last 30 minutes. Otherwise, CEO Colin Letswalo and your team, you are warmly welcome. Let's hear from you.
Thank you very much. I think the most important thing is to start by thanking you for allowing us to come and present, but housekeeping matters would actually expect me to ask the chairperson of the board to introduce the board, and then I would then introduce my executives, and then we can start, Chair.
We normally like it when officials come to our meeting, they present themselves formally. But I guess because you deal with the matters of accident, you forgot to do that.
No, thanks, Chair. My name is Colin Letswalo. I am the CEO of the Road Accident Fund. With me, I've got Ms. Tendimsi. She will introduce herself and to the board members. She's the chairperson of the board. And also, I've got members of the executive chair. Just for process, I would have liked the chairperson to introduce board members first, so I can introduce the team that is working with us at RAF as executives.
No, I was just asking about your ties.
Oh, the tie. Yeah,
I thought you were forgetting it, but it's okay. Just remember next time. when you come to Parliament, you must have your tie on.
Oh, I was not sure about that. That's fine, Chair. I'll get the tie next time.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Letswalo. Let's allow the chairperson then to kickstart.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Tembin Sidi. I'm the chairperson of the board. And thank you for inviting us to the Portfolio Committee. I have with me, with regards to the board, the Deputy Chairperson, Dr. Norman de Mabuya, and Mr. Moses Nyama, another board member, Mr. Hilmi Daniels, and Mr. Lusani Mulauzi, we also have the Secretary of the Board, Ms. June Cornelius. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Let's forge ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair. With me, I have got Mr. Patulu Kwarin, who is the Acting Chief Strategy Officer. I have got Ms. Maria Rambauli, who is the Acting COO. And I've got Mr. Ian Brill, who's the Acting CHCO, which is Human Capital Officer. I think those are the guys that are here with me. I must have a guy called King. I can't see him. King Sochet is our Chief Audit Executive as well. And those are the Exco members at the Road Accident Fund. Chair, I'm not so sure whether we can just jump into the presentation that we have.
Before you jump in, now that we know everybody, let's do it properly. The Deputy Minister is here to tell us whether she wants you to present or she's going to present on your behalf.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And Macheloni, Deputy Minister.
The Macheloni Abudi Chairperson, I will fail to present because Road Accident Fund is one of those strategic entities that we rely on, and they do not want to really think I will be better situated compared to Chairperson of the Board and the entire Board and the Executive led by Mr. Letsoalo. Chairperson, having said that, the National Development Plan demands of us to make sure that there is social protection and quality life at health care. But when we look at the Road Accident Fund, the adverse impact that the accidents and conditions that we always find ourselves in impacts negatively on the socioeconomic conditions of the victims and actually the economic conditions of the country. The transformation of this fund as envisaged in the 2020-2025 strategic plan is the most important step that the fund has taken in making sure that servicing the client is a key element, but also contributing to the objectives of the National Development Plan is what we are aspiring for. The RAF has over the years experienced serious challenges, which includes, amongst others, highly tedious and ineffective operating model, an unsustainable funding model where the benefit of offered are much more costly than the funding that is available for the scheme through the fuel levy, and a lack of nexus between the revenue and the benefit offered. Chairperson, an inadequate legislative framework is but one other challenge that we can be able to talk to. And lastly, an extraordinary high accident rate that we are seeing in the country is one of the things that we should note as we're dealing with the strategic plans and the annual performance plans. As a consequence, the fund has accumulated an actuarial liability of 330 billion as at the 31st of March 2020, and a requested but not yet paid a fund of just over 14 billion at the 31st of March. Claimants also had to wait for an average of 1,475 days for their claims to be settled. Further to this operating model, funding model and legislative challenges, as I have spoken to, the fund also had a serious governance challenge. The fund operated with an interim board for quite some time and with an acting CEO for a long period. The minister has since appointed a permanent board led by Mem Sibi to implement the turnaround strategy of the Road Accident Fund. The board subsequently has appointed a permanent CEO. The minister gave a board the following key priorities: that there must be reduction of the legal costs, revision of the structure of the business, the structure and the business processes must be seen, an integrated claim management system should be implemented, improving supply chain management processes, and lastly, rehabilitation of the network in the Road Accident Fund. There has been very good progress registered in the implementation of the strategic plan. This is despite the challenges brought about by the COVID-19 and a protracted legal battle against the new strategic path by the fund, as well panel of attorneys. Amongst the key notable achievements that Road Accident Fund has seen is finalization and approval of the new model, operating model. In terms of the model, the focus is on optimizing claims administration by improving investigation and claim settlement of claims. This will result in expediting settlement of claims and avoid unnecessary litigation. The Road Accident Fund medical tariffs has been developed and published for comments. This will go a long way in reducing the high medical costs. The Draft Road Accident Fund amendment proposal of the Act were approved by the board and submitted to the department for processing. This will also assist in optimizing the current legislative framework. Chairperson, the Road Accident Fund brought an application seeking an order in terms of Rule 45A to suspend for a period of 180 days the execution of the writs of execution issues against the fund pursuant to the court order. On the 9th of April this year, the court granted the order in favor of the fund. This will also assist in improving the fund's liquidity position and will ensure that it implements a fair and equitable payment strategy. Road Accident Fund Chairperson obtained a clean audit outcome from the Auditor General. This is an improvement from the 3 consecutive years of unqualified audit outcome. The board has reviewed and approved the new macro-organizational structure, which is aligned to the new strategy. The supply chain systems and processes were also reviewed and approved. The Road Accident Fund has further intensified a fight against fraud and corruption. To this end, Chairperson, a lot of Road Accident Fund officials were suspended or dismissed for various acts of fraud, corruption, and gross negligence in processing claims. There is a number of road accident criminal matters with the Hawks and various and at various stages of prosecution. Furthermore, Chairperson, the fund has reported a lot of legal firms to the Law Practicing Council for various acts of unethical conduct. The APP of 2021-22 will focus on building on the achievement of the APP of 2020-2021 and improving on areas where the fund fell short of achieving its annual strategic outcomes. The key strategic outcomes will include, amongst others, the implementation of the new operating model, settlement of claims within 120 days, increasing the settlement rate of all claims, integrating claims management system, reduction of legal costs, reduction of medical costs, financial facility to the fund, development of the implement of the assets and the liability strategy. Having said that, Chairperson, I think we need to commend the board of RAF and the executive management of RAF with the challenges that when they arrived, they were faced with, and they did not sit on their laurels, but have been able to achieve a number of issues, as I have already highlighted. But for me, the most exciting one that I need to commend the chairperson of the board and the board of RAF is the battle that they have ensued in fighting in court and every time getting it in favor of government, in particular Road Accident Fund, wherein they have been fighting a legal battle with the lawyers, and they have succeeded. They need to be commended on that. Having said that, Chairperson, thank you very much. I'll give to the Chairperson, back to yourself, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, for the board, Chairperson, and the CEO to proceed with the presentation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
CEO, you can now proceed. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, DM. Thanks very much, Chairperson. I made a mistake, Chairperson, at the beginning. I did not acknowledge the DM. Let me acknowledge the DM. And there are a couple of other executives that my apologies. The executives that have joined us, Chair, Witumelo Mabusela, Adrian Taljat, Arinao Mulaudzi, and the other members of the RAF executive, Justice Mkhululi Mpomanyasha and Sofotla Modiba. Thanks very much, Chair. That ours is a story of pain, a story of difficulty, a story of change, and not only change, Chair, a story of transformation. A change is the story of cultural change at the Road Accident Fund, a story of wanting to ensure that we refocus our energy and become more claimant-centric. It has been a difficult task given to us, Chair, led by the board, of course, the new administration. The minister has emphasized the need to turn around the fortunes of the Road Accident Fund. You would see, Chair, from the presentation that much more of the work that we do is to try and improve what we have at the Road Accident Fund, mostly driven by the provisions of the Road Accident Fund Act of 1996 as amended in 2008. So it's important that we look at that. We also have to look at this model that has worked. Our model, Chair, has been mostly based on litigation. Patrick, can you just help us and slide the presentation if you can? Or, Chair, how do we do it? Is it the one that we sent to Valerie, or can we be allowed to flight our presentation?
Is there any difference between the two?
I think by two slides. I think there are two slides that we changed last night, just to update the issue around the liability of the Road Accident Fund.
No, it's okay. We will experience some complaints from members in terms of those two slides, but it's okay. I think let's use the recent one.
Chairperson, is Mr. Letswalo using his laptop for the sharing, or is there another official that is going to share the presentation? I've made Mr. Letswalo co-host.
Okay.
He should be learned enough to be able to use his laptop to do the magic. am I correct, CEO?
Yes, Chair. That I should be able to do, Chair, to be able to share. Hey, on Zoom, Chair, I'm used to a thing called Microsoft Teams. So I'm gonna try to share. I've opened it.
Yeah, no, we gave lessons to the DV coming all right. Prepared to be a bit patient with you. These things are new, we understand the CEO. It's not yet showing on my side. If you can't, you must just ask Valerie to upload. Then you'll talk to the two slides that you added.
Content.
There you are. It was not too bad, I must confess. Way better than the DG. When he started,
Advocate Nell who put it up, Chair.
Or is it Advocate Nell?
Yes, Chair.
CEO? Ndate Letswalo?
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me now?
We can see you. We have assisted you. You can go on.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. The 2020-2025 strategic plan, as I said, is much more focused on the pillars of what we want to do going forward. We have since through this process changed our vision and mission and values in line with what we want to do. As I said, we need to be more customer-centric, claimant-centric, as we put it in the Road Accident Fund. And we need to focus on what we call sustainability of the fund going forward, which is what is important for us as we move. Chair, you would remember that there was also the need to move to RAPS at the time when it was still a bill, and there was a view that that must be done. But of course, the main aim is just to make sure that we focus on our mandate. We get our mandate, Chair, from the Road Accident Fund Act of 1996. And of course, some constitutional court rulings and legal precedents, the jurisprudence that shape our mandate going forward. Our objective is stated very clearly in Section 3 of the Act, which is mostly to pay compensation for road accident victims as a consequence of either negligent or wrongful use of a motor vehicle. Chair, I must add that here we must emphasize that this is no longer a point where we say on our public roads, it happens everywhere in South Africa, which is something that is tending to affect the sustainability of the funds going forward, because we as the state don't have control over what happens in people's driving they're on the pavements and other areas where there's no nothing like law enforcement in those areas. So it's very difficult for the mandate going forward to continue in that way. And this is part of the part that we think should be changed going forward. Now, the last part that we need to focus on is Section 17(4) of our RAF Act that provides that we must pay for expenses and medical expenses and all those things. And we must emphasize, Chair, Section 21(2) of the RAF Act that also talk about the if RAF does not have the cash, what should happen to the wrongdoer. Chair, if we do not sustain the RAF, what will simply happen is that the people that should have actually came to RAF must now sue the wrongdoers. You understand what this could actually have so the importance of us making sure it's sustainable is very important. Our vision is to provide appropriate benefits to all qualified residents within the borders of South Africa. And the vision is an equitable and sustainable compensation system for motor vehicle accident victims, and to provide appropriate benefit to all qualifying road users is our mission within the borders of South Africa and support safe road use. So I must emphasize that RAF is not an insurance company. RAF is a social benefit scheme, but the way it has been designed, Chair, is that it is actually a scheme that is meant to protect the wrongdoer from doing things either intentionally or negligently or unlawfully. And that, Chair, of course, there is a moral hazard. We always ask ourselves why the wrongdoer should be protected and why on South African roads there are this many road deaths. And we must relook at that, Chair, as a consequence. Of course, the claimant must be the one that must benefit from this, and the question is whether the wrongdoer must continue to be protected by the state, which we are doing in this regard. So our values have also changed to that of integrity, compassion, accountability, respect, and excellence. We focus on the issue of compassion and accountability at the core of what we do, and we do that with integrity and respect, and we strive for excellence in everything that we do. Next slide. Our strategic outcomes and the impact statement is a sustainable and equitable MVA, Motor Vehicle Benefit Scheme. And of course, our strategic outcomes is a transformed and sustainable RAF. It's a transport and a sustainable RAF that will be driven by a business operating model that works, that will be driven by a claims process that does work within 120 days. Chair, we finalize our claims within 5 years on average in the road accident funds, and we need to be able to do this within 120 days as provided for in the Act. We need to validate the claims within 60 days. We need to reduce the average old claims that we have. We'll talk to that, Chair. We must reduce legal costs, Chair, and we must reduce medical costs, and that has resulted in us pushing for medical tariffs that are implemented. We must develop medical protocols, Chair. We'll explain why we want to do that. And we will then go to the what we call a sustainable funding model for the Road Accident Fund. We need to restructure our debt because our asset and liability matching and a strategy there has always been pear-shaped, Chair. And that has created in RAF being insolvent. A sustainable RAF would also need us to modernize. We use a lot of manual, Chair, and you'd imagine what happens during these times of COVID, where people have got to walk in and out of RAF. And as a consequence, sometimes we have to shut down our offices because we have people that has either contacted this or we were afraid that the wave would lead to people contaminating others in the process, Chair. So we we need to move to a system where people can easily claim without necessarily physically being there, draft to deliver the paper. Then we need to improve governance and strengthen the control environment. You would see what the work we have done in that regard, Chair. We are glad that the political principals have appointed a board to hold us to account, but also provide oversight for us as we move forward. You would see, Chair, that we achieved a clean audit, and we want to maintain that going forward. We want to also reduce wasteful and fruitless expenditure. But what is in the main, Chair, the core of what we do? We want to reduce the fraud and corruption at the RAF, Chair. We are the most defrauded system, I must say, in the whole of the state. And this thing has been led by attorneys, sometimes in clients, of course, also with the assistance of our own people within the RAF. And that's what we have been asked to focus on as well. The minister has given that as a priority. We need to improve service delivery, Chair. It's important that we do that. It's important that as we deliver this, we deliver our service with compassion, Chair. We always say this is about the little girl whose father has passed on because of a road accident. And we are saying 5 years is too long, Chair, to give that family assistance or anyone who has got to get assistance. People who end up on wheelchairs, Chair, who are injured, it takes them 5 years to be assisted by the RAF, and we think that that is not acceptable. And it's something that we're working on, we're working very strongly on, and that the resistance, Chair, you see, is because we are actually moving and making strides in that area. Next slide. That's the APP target, Chair, the Transformed and Sustainable Road Accident Fund. The outcome indicator, Chair, is the RAF business operating model. The operating model, Chair, is changing. We were litigation focused, Chair. We waited for 120 days. We waited for summons. Summons are given. We go to court in 5 years' time, and then we just settle on the doorstep of the court. 88% of all civil litigation in the whole of South Africa are RAF claims. And at the end, we just settle this claim. So our view is that in terms of Section 41B of our Act, we must investigate and settle this claim in line with Section 24 that expects us to do this within 120 days. So the percentage of new personal claims settled within 120
days.
We are making sure, Chair, that this year we have been delayed in the COVID space.
CEO? I think it will help you if you close your video. We will get a better sound in terms of what you are saying. Thank you. Thank you for that. You may continue.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. Apologies. The percentage of claims that needs to be validated and verified within 60 days, Chair. It used to take us a long time, Chair, to put registration and do what we call a merit assessment before we determine the quantum. It took very long. But Chair, here, the biggest issue had been that lawyers had taken the aim at us by bringing claims that are not necessarily claimant ready. So they would actually, settlement ready, I may say. So they would actually bring claims that don't have the minimum requirements for us to be able to assess. And when we could not settle this matter within 120 days, they would then issue someone. Practically, probably 80% of all claims at RAF don't have all the requirements, and that's what we are looking to deal with in this year. And then there is an increase, number four is the increase in the 3-year-old claims that are settled. So we need to settle those claims. And we have asked the guys to give us, which is the percent that needs to be reduced, Chair. We are putting 25% in this financial year. We had 15% in the past year, Chair. Our approach, Chair, here is that for 25% of all money that I received by the RAF, I actually spend on legal fees. Here is a drive chair to actually reduce what we call administrative fees. For each and every one rent chair that is collected in fuel levy, 40 cents goes to administrative fees, and about 25 cents of that would actually go to the lawyer. But chair, out of the 60 cents, still 25% of that will go for the lawyer in terms of success fee. So there is very little that goes to the claimant, and that we are seeking to change. So the first part is to reduce this legal cost, chair. As we said, we are going to a claims management process. We are removing the whole litigation. In this regard, chair, we have done away with the panel of legal firms, and you would have seen the battle we are having with this legal firms, chair. This is to ensure that we actually complete this thing within 120 days. If we focus on litigation, chair, there's no way we'll achieve this within 120 days, because the legal process is prolonged on its own without looking at the merits of whatever case we are dealing with. 99% of all matters in RAF, chair, end up in a settlement. So it wouldn't make sense why we kept on focusing on litigation. RAF medical tariff implementation, chair, here, the claimant would actually claim this amount for it's one of the damages that we pay, chair. We are paying five times what the medical aid would pay for any procedure, simply because the RAF has not had medical tariffs. And in 2013, the Constitutional Court found that we couldn't actually put a figure and say, this is too much for the circumstances, you use well for money. They said, release your own tariffs. That we have done, chair, on the 9th of April, March, and we gave 21 days for people to come with comments. And you'd see, chair, that we'll be implementing that going forward to bring the RAF medical tariffs in line with what the market is paying. Now, the other issue, chair, is the development of medical treatment protocol, chair. What happens there, chair, is that the claimant would actually ask for procedures that other people would not pay for, and those procedures, we are not even sure they are done. So, for instance, someone will just go to a hospital and do an operation, and RAF will just see a bill come. So we have introduced what we call pre-authorization, like medical aid will do, and then also looking at the issues of the kind of medication people would actually go and pick up in the name of the RAF. We need to do that in order to reduce medical costs, chair. Then there is also improved financial sustainability. In this case, chair, we have got about 14.9 billion, which is a what we call requested but not yet paid, a short-term liability. This is simply people who we settled with either through the court or through ourselves in the process, and we have not paid them that money that is due to that. So that is very important that we look at that. We need a short-term facility to be able to cover that, because the funding cost, chair, for that becomes very high, and the liquidity problem becomes an issue, chair. And then the asset and liability strategy implemented, chair. Here, chair, we simply are paying people in lump sum, and that has created a big problem, chair, because we simply are not taking care of our people, but making them instead millionaires, and we know that they go and blow this money. The other issue, chair, is that we receive our money at about 3.6 billion each and every month, 3 months in arrears from SARS. And what we do here, chair, we then take that money and pay people in lump sum. Our approach is that this must be done in annuity, so that we can not make people instead millionaires, but take them over the period. This also, chair, is a problem, because if someone was 40, chair, and had to retire at 65, that person is given the whole money. You find you pay someone some 15 million, and 5 years down the line, they don't have that money. Or they may face their demise, and it would mean that we have paid them the money that we're not supposed to pay them, because we make projections on their lifetime. Chair. So it's important that we look at that. So the asset liability match is just to make sure that the money that we receive is aligned to the liability that we have. And we are going to look at that, chair. So we are also looking at issues around liability management, and we're investigating this liability. We will see it as we look at it, chair. Then the integrated claims management system, chair. Here we are just digitizing what we have. in the Road Accident Fund to make sure that people can actually use other forms of technology to actually claim. This will help us with the issues around fraud and corruption and detection thereof. This will also help us in our direct way of dealing with claims management from a risk perspective to see which claims are supposed to be in the system and which ones are not supposed to be in the system. The 11th one, Chair, is the percentage response to parliamentary questions. Here, we just want to make sure that we respond to you, Chair, quite quickly and make sure that that is done. So we have put that as one of the key areas on the governance side. Then the other issue is the percentage of resolution of matters that are reported for fraud and corruption. We need to just make sure that our forensic investigation division does more work on this and make sure that we bring people to book as quickly as possible. The ethics committee is established and authorized. We work under ethics environment, an ethical environment. As we said, the issue around integrity is very important to us, and therefore we've got a target for this. Then the percentage implementation of action plans to address audit findings. This, Chair, is just to make sure that we keep our clean audit and make sure that we run a clean governance at the Road Accident Fund. Next slide. The regulatory audit outcome, as we said, we want to have an unqualified audit. That just means a clean audit, Chair. And then the percentage reduction in case of wasteful expenditure reduced. And then, of course, reduction in regular expenditure. And the compliance, Chair, with the 30-day payment requirements. This, Chair, becomes a problem when you have a cash crunch, as we used to have at the Road Accident Fund. I must say that this 45A would help us achieve that, but it's not a sustainable solution, Chair, going forward. We need to find sustainable solutions to make sure that the RAF becomes liquid and that RAF is able to pay suppliers within 30 days. That must also focus on SMMEs, Chair, because if we don't do that, then the SMMEs then face issues. Stakeholder management strategy implemented, so we need to implement the strategy as we have set it out. Organizational structure developed, Chair, as we have said, we have already got the macro structure. We need to finalize the whole structure in line with our new strategy, Chair. Review SDM processes, this is an area as well that we have had problems within the RAF, and that's an area that needs cleaning up as it were. And the skills audit report, we need to finalize the skills audit within and make sure that we train our people for the new model as we do. And of course, the issue around enterprise service development, the amount of money that is spent on women-owned companies, but also youth-owned companies, Chair, and of course, the black-owned enterprises, as it were. Now, the budget, Chair, is a simple one for us. We always say that we need more, but we can only get this much. We want to develop a funding model that allows us to be sustainable going forward. As the DM has already said, there's no nexus between what we receive and what we pay out, Chair. And that becomes an issue, because the more road accident we get, the more claims we must pay out. And the problem is that we don't have control over that aspect of things, and we can't actually do a risk adjusted. So if we were an insurance company, we'll talk about a risk adjusted premium that is in line with that. So that will create issues. So we need to manage that going forward. The payment of claims has been reviewed to ensure equity and fairness. All the claims are paid first. Chair, when we started at the RAF, we discovered that there were people that would be owed for a period of 5 years, sometimes 1,000 days, and sometimes after the settlement, meaning they wait for 5 years and then they have to wait for another 2-3 years to be paid. And that was a problem. We had a situation where the big law firms were at what is called allocated payment. So if you're a good big law firm in RAF, you'd be paid first, simply because we could actually attach our assets. We stopped that, Chair. We said the oldest claimant first. It doesn't matter which law firm is bigger or that. It's about the claimant. So the claimant that claim was settled first must be the first one that comes through the door and be paid. And that we did. And of course, there was a pushback, but we have managed to push back. In the process, Chair, we have also discovered that there's a lot of duplicate claims that were paid in the past, and that money we are also recovering on that. So with the transition to what we call installment payment, over the MTA would be critical for our financial sustainability chair. Once we can move to installments, we should be able to be sustainable as we move forward, chair. The other issue, the targets for the MTF period, is the reduction of administrative costs. As I said, chair, 75% of reduction in legal costs, 40% reduction in medical and actuarial costs. Chair, we are currently paying 10,000 per calculation of loss of earnings. And that costs us about 180 million a year. We think that is too much for the environment. Other people that are doing those enough money share for us to be able to pay, and we think that we can do with less in that area. As we said, asset and liability matching, annuity payment of claims, that will help us. Of course, our money comes monthly, so if we pay monthly, it will make much more. It will help us increase the cash surplus, and that will allow us to acquire investment assets to do a proper asset and liability matching. So that will help us, Chair. So on the funding scenario, Chair, we give you this funding scenario on the deficit, Chair. This is the part that we changed a bit, Chair, on the deficit, because the accumulated deficit, as you look at it, Chair, it will be about 66 billion in the outlying year of 2024. The accumulated surplus or deficit will sit at about 561 billion in 2024. Yes, Chair, the Minister has actually asked us to look at the liability and how it has grown. We have looked at them. If we pay in annuity, what would happen if we no longer pay in what we call a lump sum? Next slide. You would see that with annuity payment, Chair, we should be able to sit there and have an annuity settlement liability of about 27 billion in the outlying year, Chair. But here you would see that the fuel levy would almost remain consistent over the period, and the shortfall would actually be covered going forward. So we would have a situation where going forward we should be able to be sustainable. The next projection. So the income statement, Chair, there you'd see that we'd anticipate a deficit for the year of about 59 in 2020. We have reduced that deficit, Chair, to about 28 in the year 2021. This is subjected to a process of audit, Chair. So once we audit those statements, you'd see that we are coming down, and you'd see that our expenditure has come down quite substantially, Chair, to about 71 billion, so to say. So you'd see that our deficit has reduced. And we think that if we keep this trajectory, we should be cash positive in the future, Chair. If we then move to annuity, then it becomes a very important thing that RAF would actually be sustainable going forward. Our total assets in 2020, you would see that they were at 16 billion. But what you'd see is that our current assets were sitting at 10 billion, which is mostly cash, and it has increased to 15 billion in this current financial year. And we said with the total assets of about 16 billion, and we see our current liabilities, and with the non-current liabilities at the about negative reserves of about 350 shares. Chair, this is something that we need to emphasize, the issue around the negative reserves. In there, Chair, the issue around what is called a requested, but the incurred but not yet reported. So we are looking, Chair, at this liability. We are looking at our accounting treatment of this liability. The question, Chair, that we must ask ourselves is whether if we got 350 billion this year, we'd be able to settle all those liabilities. This was supposed to be, Chair, in our view, an allowance rather than a liability. So we'll then deal with that when we come back to the portfolio committee when we are reporting on our financials. So that's our position as we are. So in conclusion, Chair, the preliminary result of 2021 has indicated that we have increased our achievement to 78%, which is an improvement of about 18%, Chair, from the 60, notwithstanding COVID, Chair. And you'd see that we escalate the implementation of the new operating model, the funding model, and medical tariffs, which were approved in 2020-2021 ATP. We are improving efficiencies there, reducing administrative costs, as you would see it in our balance sheet. And you'd see that the successful rule of 45A will give us a chance where people don't execute chair. Every day you would have heard about people attaching our assets, taking our chairs, taking our computers, we could not work, and also locking our offices chair when they execute the read. So we have managed to push back chair. We are happy with the reprieve that we are given, but we need to get a more sustainable way of doing our work, and we think that annuity will help us going forward doing that. The implementation of integrated claims management system, I've already referred to chair, which is a key priority for us. And of course, the issue around fraud and corruption, it remains a key challenge, chair, as an issue for the fund, as we have been cornered by a lot of stacks in that area, and we are making sure that we are cleaning up the space for that, and we are making sure. Yesterday we had a meeting with the Hawks, and it's something that, chair, we are quite active on, and we want to make sure that we deliver a sustainable RAF. We believe very strongly, chair, that we are on a very good trajectory. We are going forward. We are not turning around, chair. We have already turned around, as we say. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no, your closing remark is very powerful, CEO. Jefferson, anything before I go to the members?
No, Jefferson, we are covered. Thank you.
But the difference between me and you is that you are Jefferson, I'm Honorable Jefferson. Okay. let's see if we have members who are having any questions to ask. Mukhayesu, I can see you are live. Followed by Ubaba Ulisa. Followed by Ubaba Ustone, and Adema Kosi Udemu, followed by Magdi, and then yeah, that is all. Mukhaish.
Chairperson, thank you very much indeed. Thank you to Raletswalo for the presentation, Ralebogara. I just want to ask practical questions, Chairperson, perhaps outside of the presentation, and also touching on the first opening remarks by the CEO in respect of RAF being a social benefit scheme which essentially protects the wrongdoer. I just want to ask, do we have timelines in respect of what we are going to do with that particular issue, CEO, and exactly what are some of the ideas that you have around this? Obviously, you would be able to elaborate a bit more if I probably missed that. The second question that I have, from a practical point of view, is the questions that we've received quite a number of times from community members. For example, accidents that are caused by throwing of bricks or other items in bridges, resulting in windscreen damages and therefore causing accidents. What needs to be done by the individual who is then in that particular situation or instance? That's the first thing. And then the issue again, people that get hurt or die or get injured in roads that are seriously of hazard to them, because I mean it's no doubt that our road infrastructure has deteriorated to a point where people need to drive, you know, in zigzag. Otherwise, they'll tell you in Mahikeng that if you drive straight, it means you are drunk. What is also there? What are they liable for? Can they also then claim from the road accident fund in this instance? Because you know, these are just practical questions that I wanted to get across on behalf of community members. Thank you, Kialebo Chairperson.
Thank you, Kialebo Halinam Hayes. Baba Ujambase.
Thank you, Chairperson, and my colleague who's asking on behalf of community. Chair, firstly, I would like to welcome the new board. I believe they are fairly new, as we have heard, and also make a disclaimer that I do know the chairperson. I like making disclaimers up front. Welcome, Siswam, and we're looking forward to working with you and your team. I know that you've got a very energetic young man there in the CEO. Coming straight to the issues, and also thank you, CEO, for to the point, crisp, you know, cutting all the fat presentation, you know. That's what I know you to be. You know, you remove all the bells and whistles and go to the issues. I'm a bit concerned about the targets that you have set there. I don't know whether you are very cautious or not. That is in terms of your transformed and sustainable REF strategic outcomes, starting from number 2, your new personal claim settled within 120 days. You've set yourself a target of 5% per quarter. I don't know you are moving from what baseline. Maybe that could assist. From where I am sitting on the outside, it looks a very low percentage target. Just if you could just say how you got to it. And 50% obviously validated and verified within 60 days. Given where you are now, I think for me it's a fairly ambitious target. But the 5%, you know, and number 4, your 3-year-old claim settled 10%, and you said average now is about 5 years. Now, if you want to bring it down to 3 years and you are putting it at 10%, I don't know how you based it on. So those are my concerns. If you could just clarify that, I would truly appreciate that. Now, my second last question would be around, again, specifically, unfortunately, I have to ask this question here. When the board under the chairmanship of Usis TMB was appointed, it always just helps for us to have a clear picture. Some of these things we hear when we are here, unfortunately. And in the past year, now that you're in the new financial year, and that is where my first question comes from. What was your budget for the board and what did you spend? If you could also tell me, hopefully you have it in this financial year we have started, what is the target? I'm talking finances now, rather budget, not target, of this current financial year. But once again, all the best, CEO and the board. I'm sure we are very confident that you will turn that around. We are following what is happening. Thank you so much, and keep it up.
Now, Jambas, Nguzuyile Mfowethu, Baba Umondisi,
Baba Ngethe. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenter, especially the CEO, because it seems that we are going somewhere, because we have been with this problem of RAF for a long time, Chairperson. Chairperson, there's something that I'm trying to find out, because we know that the boards are new, but I'm trying to check on the qualification of audit of the audit, because they got the quality qualified audit findings, and then the there's a lot of findings on the auditing. So now I'm trying to check, do they have a system or mechanism, because they're dealing with the issue of qualified findings and What are the are their targets for getting the unqualified audit? And the other chairperson that I'm trying to check, they are talking about the compliance to 30 days payment requirement. I don't understand, chairperson, because if you know and you understand the challenge of unpaid claims from the victims of RAF, I don't understand. Though they are trying to tell us that they start from the new page, but the understanding that we have is they're supposed to be paid by RAF. So I'm Yes, I'm going to.
Yeah, you just came in when you say so to be paid by RAF. We did not hear you on the other issues that you are raising.
So I was saying that they are talking about the compliance of 30 days. You hear now?
Yeah.
They are talking about the compliance of 30 days payment requirement. So now I'm trying to check because there's a lot of unclaimed and unpaid money that was claimed by the victims of the accident. So now I'm trying to check how are they going to deal with the old claims for unpaid. And then the other chairperson that I'm trying to check is that one, the fraud and corruption, because it is actually is a cancer that's killing the entity. So I'm trying to check how many tanks have been arrested and how many cases which are seated with SIU and how many.
You are gone once again. Mondiso, I think they have yet. Baba McDonald. We'll allow Mondiso to come.
Now.
Yeah, okay. You are back. Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes, sir. So now I was trying to check that the fraud and corruption.
I think they got your the gist of your question.
How are they going to deal with it? Because I'm trying to check how many cases.
Bob, okay, Honorable Stole. Hello. Yeah, okay. I think that question, as you cut, but that question is well captured.
Okay.
They will be able to answer. If you are not satisfied, there is something they've left off, I will give you a chance to augment at that particular stage.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Honorable McDonald.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Also, good morning, Deputy Minister. Thank you for the presentation of the board. I would want to say that it's very encouraging the way that the CEO is sort of taking the rot out of the road accident fund. My question, Chairperson, is of all these lawyers that were paid unduly for their services, how much of that has been recovered so far and how many cases are actually gone to court? And the other question, Chairperson, is of every rand that the Road Accident Fund collects, what's the percentage of the money that actually gets to the beneficiaries? That's my question. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
And then could you please lower your hand, Honorable McDonald? Thank you. CEO, Chairperson, and the Deputy Minister, are you still there, all of you?
Well,
yes, Honorable Chairperson.
Yes, we are here, Chairperson.
Thank you. Let me just repeat what the honorable members are saying in terms of the improvements that we see from the presentation. It's encouraging. One thing that I think we have found lacking as a road accident fund is a simple matter of communicating to these people who are out there having claimed and their claims are still being processed or something is happening to them. I think we just need to go out there and communicate. CEO, there were programs, I think I've raised this issue once with you, where radio stations would actually, on behalf of government, communicate to the people of South Africa in terms of how far are their claims are being processed, or the claim, the status, which was very helpful to members, deputy chair, deputy minister. The issue of people claiming and not being responded to has actually caused a load of inquiries at the level of me as the chairperson of the portfolio committee. As of yesterday, an honorable member from EFF, Mayor Nhlangwini, sent me an email of somebody who has been pestering her in terms of their claims not being paid. I think I'll send this email. There is a situation also at RAF where people get paid this month and next month that payment has stopped. We may want to know as a portfolio committee as to what is actually the cause of such events where the claim has been processed, it's been paid this month, next month. There is an issue the other month, there is no issue. I think if we deal with the small issues of really communicating on what we are doing, government will be viewed at this level, in this program especially, to be doing very well compared to the view of the people outside there. So I would request that let's put mechanisms in place where we are able to communicate what we are doing as a road accident fund. Otherwise, I really want also to agree and join those members who are saying something has been done here, very much encouraging. Let me, at this point, allow responses from the minister and the deputy minister and her team. Over to you, deputy minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me once more thank the portfolio committee. It hasn't been easy in the road accident fund. But the team that the minister has put, particularly of the board, which has appointed, excuse me, the CEO, has really assisted in taking out government out of the woods. Earlier on, Chairperson, I forgot to recognize the team from the Department of Transport led by Mr. Sabisa, who are here on the platform. But I would like to give to the chairperson of the board and the CEO to respond to the questions as raised by the members of the portfolio committee. Thanks.
QDM. In that order, please. Chairperson of the board or CEO.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'll hand over to the CEO.
Thanks very much, Chair. Firstly, let me thank the Portfolio Committee for the questions and we'll attempt to answer all that we can, and if we can't share, we will do the what we usually do, which is put some things in writing if there is a need to clarify it even more. Chair, the issue around the indemnifying the wrongdoer is something that is based on history. This is a 1942 organization in its changes. Every other time in 20 years, you get a commission of inquiry into why RAF is not sustainable. We find that, and which is why we say this is a moral hazard. The only way to deal with this thing, Chair, is to make it what it is, which is a social benefit scheme. It must have a certain level of benefits. We disagree, Chair, that it must be no fault. Because no fault will always lend us back to the very same moral hazard. And our issue is we want to deal with issues. People must account for their own wrongdoing. And it says that if you negligently or unlawfully have acted on the road, that must result in us covering the claimant. The claimant who is the victim must get the money without letting go of the wrongdoer. This is our view. And it's something that we have discussed within, and we have discussed in a workshop also with the minister in the past 2 weeks, that there must be changes to the scheme. So it's something that we're working towards together with the department, of course, led to the policy of the department that was set down in 2013 for RAPS. So it's important that we relook at that policy and at some point come back to design this scheme in such a way that it is sustainable, but in such a way that it also reduces the risk and what the wrongdoers are doing. So it's an issue that we are focusing on together, led by the department, of course. Okay, the issue around windscreen damage. This is going to be difficult because the scheme as it sits now is based on what is called delictual claims, meaning that it must be a wrong that is done by a motor vehicle driver. Because remember, it indemnifies the wrongdoer who is the motor vehicle driver. So if someone is throwing a stone from a bridge, it's going to be difficult because the cause of that is not naturally an event that is related to motor vehicles. So in the way the law sits now, it's going to be very difficult to deal with it. The issue about hazardous roads, of course, that we are seeing in the numbers where single car accidents are increasing because someone has hit a pothole and that resulted in an accident. And in which case the RAF currently covers that individual. So it's going to be important that we look at all these matters and law enforcement comes in to come and assist us. Chair, for as long as we don't get a reduction in road crashes, we don't have tight law enforcement on our roads, or behavior changes. Let me put it mostly to behavior. The behavioral change on our roads is very important for the sustainability of the RAF going forward. And that is something that we are working together with the other entities that are dealing with issues around that, like the RTMC and the RTIA. So the issue around targets, Chair, the baseline for currently the claims that are settled within 120 days, Chair, is zero. It's zero because almost all, actually, let me just say, all claims that are settled at the RAF are settled after 120 days, Chair. The 120 days is given, and as I said, what we picked up is that 80%, if not more, at least we picked up 80% of all claims that are in our system are actually not settled in a sense that they don't have the required documents for us to settle them. It took RAF 5 years spiritually settle that. So this year we are putting 5% because of the issues around COVID, but the other issue was that we are now having to clean up all that. We are introducing minimum requirements for information. We are also having to go and get capacity to be able to do this work quite quickly. So we are hiring actuaries. We are also hiring medical practitioners on the side of the RAF to be able to fast track that. So we are giving that process. You would see it in the next years that is going to grow. And we think that in the next 3 years, we should be able to have 100% of settlement within 120 days. So that's why the 5% was based on that. So you see that the 3 year average is also calculated on the reduction of the 5 years. So we couldn't have increased it much more than the 10% because it's also driven by that 5% that we have. So they are totally linked. We have our own stretch targets, Chair, inside where we internally, where we say, well, we think this is like 5%, but maybe the stretch target will be about 10 on the inside. But the issue is just to make it that it must be something that is achievable and within our control. And we think that 5% is something that is doable under the circumstances. You'd remember, Chair, that we also have a manual system. So all the things are done manually. And we think that the integrated claims management system would actually kick in the last quarter of this year. So it's going to be those things that we looked at as a dynamic. Now the budget says, I just need to understand which budget is this, the budget of the Road Accident Fund or is it the budget of the board? Because the budget of the Road Accident Fund is about, we get about 43 billion and we get about 3.6 billion each and every month, Chair, to calculate it to about 43 billion in all. And it also depends on what we have collected from the fuel list. If that can be clarified, Chair, the issue around the budget, whether it was either the budget of the board or is it the budget of the Road Accident Fund.
Let's get that clarity quickly.
Through you, Chair, thank you. It is for the budget, for the board meetings or board attendance, remuneration, everything around the board meetings, not the entity itself. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chambers.
So we're going to have to come back on that, but I'll tell you that at RAF, we don't pay per meeting. So we pay the fixed amount that we get, but we'll come back to it. But it's not driven by meetings at all. If we were driven by meetings, Chair, last year the board had 21 board meetings, so we would be at a very high figure. So we are quite comfortable with that, but we'll bring the actual budget to you. I'll write this down to give you the actual budget on the board. And then the issue, Chair, around the audit. We have a clean audit, Chair. We don't have any findings that on top of that, so it's unqualified with no findings. So we want to keep that going forward, which is why we focus on that. The 30-day, Chair, is the issue around paying of invoices, not the claim, the suppliers. So what happens is that RAF has got a liquidity cash position, meaning we're always out of cash. So because we are out of cash, we would then have a situation where certain people are paid now, they are not paid the next month, and they are paid now, and then we've got cycles within which people get paid. And that's why we are saying, and this was also created by the fact that by the time we try to pay these individuals, the lawyers have attached the bank account and taken out some money. So even if you wanted to pay these people, there's not enough money to actually go and pay them. So that was what creating the problem. It was also creating a problem for our own salaries. We couldn't even say people are paid on the 26th. Because if we say people get paid on the 25th, when the money arrives on the 21st, the sheriff is there, they take that old money or they take whatever. So that's why we ask for Section 45A reprieve, so that these guys must not attach our assets, so that we can bring certain level of consistency in what we do and be able to manage our cash on our own. The issue around fraud and corruption, Chair, we have suspended more than 50 of our own employees. We have dismissed more than 10. We are going through a process. We have identified a further 80 What used to happen, Chair, here is also the issue around payment. So in payment, some of our colleagues had created themselves into extortionists. So they would actually block people and not pay them. And then because of that thing of saying we were not aware how much is outstanding and all that, we had a situation where people will just hold on to payments and not pay. And when we started to say to them, load these matters, some of them just refused to load the matters simply because I would imagine that they were getting something in return for loading matters and all that. And that's what we are doing. So we are making sure that there's consequence management in the process and we clean fraud and corruption. Of course, the issue around lawyers, we have reported 102 law firms to the Legal Practice Council. We believe that we have got a further 50 or 60 to report. And these are ones where certain individuals that passed on and they still claimed money. So we want to keep the LPC very busy, Chair, on these issues of that. And of course, I mean, we have picked up that in other instances, this money we pay to these lawyers, they actually never reach the claimant. And this is an area that we are also working towards. We have introduced a situation where we have asked them that they must give us the agreements that they signed with the attorneys, with the claimant, so that we can see that they take actually up to 25% and not more than that. So we have introduced that as well. We also want to introduce a point where they show us that they actually paid the money once you have delivered that money. So they must give us a remittance advice of some sort. So that will also help us to do that. And we would be bringing in a system that allows people to be able to check for themselves whether the money has been paid out or not and how long is the system going to take. So that is a what we call a customer relationship management system that is going to be linked with the integrated claims management system. In the paid what we have, the lawyers have not paid us, what we have discovered. We discovered about 600 million, about 1.2 at the time, about 600 when we started to really collect this money. 600, then we had them paying the 600 million, and then we had some paying, and we were left with about 340 million when we went to the LPC on the 5th of March, and then after that people have been paying. And of course on Friday we launched an application where we were stopping and continuing to stop the 63 law firms that still owed us money. I think it's about 100 and between 160 and 180 people have been paying throughout. So we are trying to collect, but as we collect we also pick up other duplicate payments that happens in the outer years, because this was the first 2 years that we looked at, and we are going back to see what money people got from RAF that were not entitled to, and we want to claim that money back. Now, how much does go to the claimant in the system of the every one rand that we collect? We calculate it to be at 45 cents, Chair. 40 cents goes to administrative fees, and then of the 60 cents that goes to the claimant, then they pay about 15 cents of that to the lawyer. So on average, I mean, we are sitting at about 45 cents. And we are saying, totally unacceptable, Chair. This was formed for the claimant and not the lawyer, nor the medical practitioner, nor the actuary. So we need to reduce this cost from this 40 cents, or let me say 55 cents, back to about 10, 15 cents, including everybody, so that this issue must be about claims and not be about enriching individuals, why that being lawyers or the very same claimants as well. That's why we are saying we must pay them in annuity, so that we reduce this thing of making them instant millionaires, but in 2 years they actually go to SASA and other social benefit schemes to try and get the assistance there when they've blown this money. Okay, the issue around communication, Chair, is something that we assist with. The board has been very hard on us about this. We are working on it. We are making sure that we are reintroducing some of these old programs, Chair. The difficulty with what we used to do, Chair, we had to have something called RAF on the road. With the current system as it is, Chair, it would effectively mean if we originate a claim, it would mean we are actually suing ourselves. And initiated this play through one of our own, as I say, was a consultant of RA. We had problems there, Chair, and we met a lot of legal issues that we could not resolve. So we said, let's block this for a while, get the system internally very well, and then go out. Our target, Chair, is just to make sure that this system becomes so easy to claim from that any person working anywhere can actually get in and be able to play. And that when we remove the litigation management approach and you go to a claims management approach, that's the only way in which the system we're going for. So we are starting that. We are making sure that we are doing that. And this is why we have even introduced the issue around minimum requirements. So you know, when I've got to claim, these are the things that I need. We are going to work very closely with Dr. Che. We don't understand why the forms must be filled by lawyers when the injuries are actually determined by doctors. So we are saying we must work very closely with doctors and other medical practitioners to make sure that they are able to fill these forms. Our forms are also going to change to make it easier for them to be able to do. We are going to bring in the CGI coding so that we balance the issues about injuries. And once we have to do that, we are going to be more consistent in the payment of this claim. And once we are consistent, Chair, then the quality of our settlement is going to improve. And that's what we are working on. Thanks very much, Chair. And then we are introducing an inquiry line. We are actually piloting it in Mainland, which is our biggest region, and we are going to be rolling it out in the whole of the country. We are also going to be based provincially, Chair. Someone from Musina should not drive to Pretoria to come and get assistance. Of course, there is a customer service center in Polokwane. We believe that in Polokwane we must have a whole fully fleshed RAF there. Bluefontaine as well. We are looking at Mbombela because the way this thing was set up on the basis, Chair, of the where the high courts were. And you remember Limpopo never had a high court, Mahikian never had a high court, and also the other place never had high court. Now they have got high courts and areas, but our aim is not to drive, be driven by litigation, and it's only to be driven by the needs of our people and where we should be. Thanks very much, Chair.
Mondays.
Mangele. Mangele.
The issue of fraud and corruption, what system do RAF have to deal with it? How many thieves have been arrested? How many cases with SIU? How many officials have been dismissed? What mechanisms do RAF have to implement the audit findings? When and how are they going to deal with unpaid claims which are with them? I think by and large, the last one has been answered. Broadly, these issues have been answered. Am I correct, CEO?
Yes, Chair. The issue around SIU, remember, for SIU to investigate, we need a proclamation. We don't have a proclamation on the RAF, so it's something that we are working on to make sure that the department then, through the minister, gets us a proclamation on this matter. We are seeing a lot of those. The issues around fraud and corruption, how we work, Chair, is that we work on what we call a claims risk process. So every claim goes through that. But the other thing is to look at outliers. What has happened? Who are these people? For instance, you want to identify the law firm that is paid the highest. You want to go there and check why are they the ones that are in the top 10 and look at their claim settlements, the ones that are settling higher than the law. We go and check that. We look at our own internally, which claims handler pays higher and all those things. So we have introduced it. But the difficulty with it has been it's a manual process. So we want to work it out more on an integrated claims management system and put those rules into the rule part where we are able to identify some of these things and then go and investigate them. We are mostly going to be more proactive than reactive to issues around fraud and corruption in the Road Accident Fund. And I think the way we have dealt with issues around lawyers, the way we've dealt with issues around doctors and everywhere else, we're actually narrowing the net. And I think most of people are going to be caught out in all those things, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. There's a hand that is coming from the city of Matlosana. Honorable Sitlogelo Mkhayes.
Chairperson, I'm not coming from the city of Matlosana. I am from the city of Jade Marks. Chair, with your indulgence, thank you very much. I do apologize. I just needed to quickly squeeze in this question that I've just received. Is RAF currently stopping claimants from lodging claims? I know that the CEO mentioned the fact that because of COVID, they've had to close down certain offices, etc. I just want to get clarity. Are they currently stopping claimants from lodging claims? If so, why? And if there are reasons, what are they? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mkhayesu, CEO.
Chair, no, we are not. Remember, Chair, we must assess and settle claims. And this thing must be a claim first. And I think I understand where this is coming from. We're not stopping anyone. People have been walking in and bringing the claims. We have brought in the minimum requirements directive, Chair, in terms of Section 41A that says we must set the terms and conditions upon which we administer the claims for the compensation. Now, Chair, guys were bringing documents. They would bring forms with no attachment. And this has created a situation where we have got a lot of claims, about 80% of them that we can't assess and settle. So we have brought in that part, and our issue is very simple, is that we are not going to accept any claim that is incomplete. Because then they bring it in, mostly through the lawyer, and they never really come back. And even when it's dormant, they just leave them. We have got a lot of dormant claims there where the lawyer has brought it in, and because they understood that it never had merit, they were just submitting it. They never actually gave us more information on it to be able to settle it. So to stop that and to make sure that we assess and settle claims within 120 days, those claims that come there must be claims that are claims in terms of Section 24, meaning it must have all the requirements in terms of the minimum requirements. So those are the only ones that we are not accepting, Chair. But we are actually taking claims, Chair. Thanks so much.
On that note, let me thank the team, Ndlondlo and your team. CEO, I think you are doing well. You have communicated well with us today. It means you are a well-round communicator. What you are telling us, I'm sure the public will really appreciate to know. I would endeavor as a chairperson also to communicate what I've heard today, because I think it's important that the public knows this. Otherwise, we wish you all the best. We shall keep an eye, as this is one of the issues with the community. I think we want to agree with you when you say this scheme has become something else, and I'm happy that you are correcting that. All the best moving forward. We will support where we need to support and ensure that we move along with the community. Otherwise, we want to liberate you from this meeting, and all the best in Ndlondlo. Thank you very much. I think we're still going to be having the deputy minister with us, so she's not liberated. Thank you very much, Raf.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Artia. Artia Road Traffic Infringement Agency. Are they here, Valerie?
Chair, the acting registrar is in the meeting, Ms. Dalian Mabula.
Acting?
Yes, Chair.
Valerie. Yeah, that's not a nice one. Let's hear what the members shall say about it. Acting registrar. How are you, ma'am?
I'm okay, honorable member.
Honorable chair.
Honorable chair. My apologies.
Where is your team?
My apologies.
Thank you very much. Apology accepted. Are you having your team with you?
Yes, I'm having the team with me. I'm with the deputy registrar responsible for strategy, development and monitoring, and as well as the acting CFO. I believe that the chairperson has tendered an apology that was sent through the proper channels.
You also have an acting CFO?
Yes.
You. All right. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. You want to say something before they kick the dust?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Dalian is from the Department of Transport. We're still managing and dealing with the processes. The registrar has been suspended together with the CFO. So that is why you are having an acting CFO and an acting registrar in the Road Transport Infringement Agency. I need to indicate, Chairperson, that internationally, regionally, and nationally, and sector legislation and policies in particular, the National Development Plan and the National Road Safety Strategy 2017-2030 inform the preeminent areas of the APP development. Part of the medium-term targets of the National Road Safety Strategy is to ensure the existence of an intervention that holds motorists to account motorists accountable through the point demerit system and subsequent suspension and or cancellation of the license of habitual road offenders. The development of the annual plan 2021-2022 was preceded by an internal and external stakeholder consultation, including Johannesburg Metro Police, Tshwane Metro Police, Gauteng Department of Community Safety, and issuing authorities through the ARTHRO National Steering Committee. This input obtained from the discussion accordingly informed the ARTHIA APP. Chapter 7, the annual performance plan 2021-2022 consists of 32 outcome indicators target with emphasis on ARTHRO operation and 7 of on government means supply chain and financial management of ARTHIA. An additional outcome indicator relates to the integration of law enforcement of the road entities, which pertains to rationalization of RTMC and ARTHIA law enforcement functions. I need to hasten, Chairperson, to indicate that the minister is hard at work in making sure that the integration happens as speedily as is possible so that the implementation of ARTHRO can be able to be implemented within an environment that is conducive. ARTHIA has to change the current APP and resubmit to the department, and it must align with the NEE, E&E budget that the Minister of Finance pitched to 155 million. And make targets that are smart. The change in the APP will affect previous quarter reports. Critical, Chairperson, is the strategic risk outlined in the APP, which includes but not limited to external dependence on stakeholders like South African post offices and RTMC. The ARTO Act prescribed the postage and electronic service relationship with ARTIA and SAPO. Additional to the risk identified includes the E-notice downtime which is alleged to be experienced by issuing authority. The lack of performance of the South African Post Offices and ARTO operation, as well as the reliance of the on the systems of RTMC, increases the risk of the agency to deliver on the mandate as planned. Critical again is to the strategic risk outlined in the APP, includes but is not limited to the external dependence on stakeholder like SAPO and RTMC. The ARTO Act also prescribes, the ARTO rollout will start from the 1st of July. Appeals tribunal must be established before the 1st of July to preside over the unsuccessful presentation brought by the infringers. The department is responsible for setting up the appeals tribunal, and the ARTIA will provide administrative support. ARTO delivery model will be based on the provincial, will be based in the provincial offices, municipal offices, the DLTC, and will outlet will also make sure that there is services of ARTO roll out. ARTIA capacity. The agency is in a process of implementing organizational structure to support the ARTO rollout. Some of the key achievements in the previous financial year have a bearing on the 2021-2022 APP. This includes the go live on the ARTO mobile and ARTO web portal. This mainly aimed at the improved road user convenience and digitization of ARTO services. The progress made registered in the electronic postal services method, which would aid some postage challenges pending on the agreement with the South African Post Offices services pricing. Chairperson, I need to indicate that we are the board of ARTIA is hard at work, and hence we're talking about the indication that I have already alluded to of the suspension of the registrar and the CFO. And Chairperson, you would indicate that it took us time for us to can be able to submit the annual report, which actually was based on the challenges that have been identified by National Treasury and the Auditor General of South Africa. So these are the things that I would want to say, much as the chairperson of the board has not been able to come today, they are really hard at work to make sure that this organization can be able to do its work without necessarily going into details as to what we have seen as we're trying to work on the on what the challenges that led to us bringing late the annual report to Parliament was. Chairperson, on that note, let me thank you and indicate that the acting registrar will be able to present the work of ARTIA or the APP. And as I have already indicated, the strat plan will have to be reorganized. And once it has been reorganized, it will be brought back to Parliament. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DM. So the chairperson of the board has apologized, and the registrar is suspended. We should just mention at this stage, DM, that we don't call these entities every time. I'm sure you'll agree with me as the former chairperson yourself of the portfolio committee. It does not paint a very good positive image of the commitment by this entity, that when the portfolio committee makes a call once in a blue moon, the chairperson of the board is here. We do understand, however, but I thought I should raise that point at this moment, whilst you are still here at DM, if we can try and rectify that, so that we work jointly and assist each other moving forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we will coordinate properly, and so that you should also have an understanding from what the chairperson is experiencing. But I hope next time when you call us, definitely the chairperson will be with us here. I want to profusely apologize.
Thank you very much. Apology accepted, DM. Let's forge ahead. Deputy Registrar, are you here?
Yes, I'm here, Chairperson.
I'm here, Honorable.
Okay. You should be finished at 12. So please come back to me at past 11. Thank you very much. You can forge ahead. Mayor Mabula.
Honorable Chairperson, Dr. Munyipao will be the one taking the committee on presentation.
Dr. Munyipao.
Yes, it's the Deputy Registrar responsible for strategy, monitoring, evaluation, Chair.
A medical doctor?
No, not a medical doctor.
Oh, okay. Doctor in terms of achievements. Okay. Dr. Munyipao, Kane Munyipao.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, all protocol observed. I will be presenting the APP for the RTIA today. Honorable, yes, Chair. Honorable Chair.
Yes, thank you. Also, the film red.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, the Deputy Minister has outlined at a very high level the background and critical information. Safe to say that the strategy is seriously aligned to legislative imperatives that are necessary for the organization to comply with. The strategic and policy alignment as well, key to the presentation is premised on the importance of the national rollout, the importance of road user safety, digitization of ARTO services in line with the trends in the world today, the importance of modernizing ARTO operations as well as ARTO education and awareness. During the planning window, Honorable Chair, there was a significant guidance from the Minister and the Deputy Minister around what is it that they expect out of the delivery of the RTIA efforts towards the national rollout. There was also significant interaction and guidance from the board. As the Deputy Minister has alluded to, there was a thorough stakeholder analysis as well as consultation. Very critical to the consultation, as the DM has already alluded, was consultation with the Johannesburg Metro Police as well as Tshwane Metro Police, who are currently implementing ARTO in their respective jurisdictions. We have also consulted with provinces at the ARTO National Steering Committee to appreciate their views and the state of readiness on the rollout of ARTO. There was also extensive situational scenario analysis as well as futures analysis, where we tried to locate the position of the organization and appreciate, you know, the important issues that we need to take into account as we plan. And we decided to adopt a particular strategic approach, which is mainly focused on the ARTO national rollout, which we have committed as the department and the RTIA to ensure that it is rolled out, you know, for quite some time now. There has been significant interventions in the Republic to ensure that there is road safety. However, we have not been successful in holding motorists accountable, as the DM has indicated. With the implementation of ARTO, would like to hold motorists accountable and ensure that we save lives on our roads through the point demerit system, suspension and cancellation of driver's licenses. Without further ado, Honorable Chair, I'm going to go right into what is contained in the APP. The APP of the RTIA is divided into five programs. The first one being the ARTO Administration and Education. The second one being ARTO Administration and Education. The third one being the ARTO Information and Analytics. The fourth one being Governance and Sustainability. And lastly being the ARTO Rollout Program. And I'll present them as advised. In line with the fourth industrial revolution, digitization, convenience, and so on, one of the critical deliverables that we have put into this APP is the importance of improving convenience for road users and motorists by developing a mobile application of ARTO, wherein we are able to allow motorists to engage with the ARTO services remotely. We would like to reduce a situation where motorists you know, have to either go to a DLTC or to a South African post office you know, institution, but that the service is available anywhere in the world through the touch of a button on an iPhone or a phone, Android or an iPad. We have planned to implement the ARTO mobile application in the first quarter of the financial year, and they will continue to assess its effectiveness and determine whether there is a need for us to improve that. And the phase one of the mobile app mainly focus on the traditional ARTO as we know it. But during quarter three...
Point of order, please. Chair? Chairperson? Mangat? Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport? All right. Sorry to the presenter. I don't see the slides moving. I'm going through the chairperson, going to ask if your slides can move so that we can follow you if possible. I'm sorry to do that. I thought I'll ask that through the chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Member. My apologies. I was still speaking to the first output indicator, which is the development of the ARTO mobile app. We have already commenced with the implementation of the ARTO mobile app. Phase one of the ARTO mobile app is already available on the Google Store, and we intend deploying phase two of the mobile app, where the app will be able to provide transactions that deal with the appeals tribunal, the point demerit system, as well as the rehabilitation transactions. That is the first output indicator. The second output indicator, which we had intended to ensure that it comes to fruition, is the establishment of the appeals tribunal as provided for in the Amendment Act. We had planned to ensure that there are engagements, in the first quarter, and ensure that the appeals tribunal members are appointed. The process is at an advanced stage, and we should be having the appeals tribunal members appointed and functional in the before the actual ARTO rollout. The other output indicator focuses on the development and implementation of a point demerit system, wherein we'll be moving from the 12 points as provided for in the Principal Act to 15 points. We intend to ensure that phase one of the point demerit system is implemented in the year under review, wherein the focus will not be on all road traffic offenses, but will first target the 10 most critical offenses that contribute to road fatalities. We are aware of the complexity of the implementation of the point demerit system, as well as its implication on drivers, companies, businesses, and we're of the view that we'd rather take a cautious approach in implementing the point demerit system and first start with those that will significantly impact on the road safety levels. We anticipate that the implementation of the point demerit system will correct driver behavior and reduce fatalities in the Republic. Another output indicator is the need to further develop driver rehabilitation programs. Currently, we have developed only one driver rehabilitation program, which is generic and will be implemented across the board. But in the year under review, we intend developing a further two peculiar driver rehabilitation programs, wherein we are going to prioritize, amongst others, a drunk driving rehabilitation program, because we have noted that one of the most consistent challenges that we are having on our roads is where drivers, occupy the driver's seat while under the influence of alcohol. While we'll be levying demerit points on such conduct, one of our aims is to also assist these drivers to come back and comply with the rule book. So it will be those two programs that we want to develop during the current financial year, and that one program that we'll implement as we roll out, from the 1st of July. The next indicators focus on the importance of communicating ARTO messaging, where we would like to educate the public and the road users about the ARTO legislation since it's very new. We targeted the social media space, where we have amplified and continue to amplify our social media platforms, where we would like to engage particularly with the youth, because the youth are part of the category that is problematic on our roads, but are also in great numbers on people who acquire licenses and procure motor vehicles. We intend deploying 32 ARTO awareness campaigns on social media. One campaign will consist of more than 5 activities on social media. We have also prioritized deploying 24 ARTO education and awareness campaigns focusing on the traditional media through televisions, radio, and other events related activations to ensure that we cover the furthest of places in the Republic and we cover all segments of the population. We have also prioritized an output indicator of assessing the brand perception of the RTIA and ARTO to try and ascertain what is it that the population or the people are experiencing on the ground, and what is it that is important for the RTIA to improve on the RTIA service as well as the ARTO services. We intend working together with a professional marketing company to try and cover the widest scope possible. That concludes output indicators for the first program. The second program, which focuses on ARTO adjudication and support, here, Honorable Chairperson, we would like to activate the ARTO electronic service, wherein we'll be able to post enforcement orders and as well as courtesy letters electronically through emails. You will note, Honorable Chair, that the postage is no longer effective. One of the problems that we are having in the ARTO value chain currently is the SAPO postage services, or registered mail rather. We are not really getting value, you know, in terms of ensuring that the documents are posted and delivered on time. And we have since appreciated the fact that more people are available on email, either on their cell phones, their iPads or computers, and would like to ensure that we roll out electronic service in the Republic. Work is underway. We are already advanced with South African Post Office to ensure that we implement electronic service. We are also trying to amplify efforts at the DLTCs to try and ensure that we get as many people as possible on email as opposed to the traditional post. We have also developed an online service system called the Vehicle Fleet Management Notification System. This is where we would like to engage road users, motorists, fleet and business, not to wait for post or electronic mail to come to their inboxes, but that there is a portal where they can go into and they'll be able to access all documentation that has been posted to them. We intend recruiting 500 operators onto the program during 2021-22. We were of the view that we needed to start a little bit low so that we assess the market, and then we can increase our performance from 500 per year to 1,000 and 2,000 in the outer year. We believe that this implementation of the vehicle fleet management system will improve convenience for business in particular. During the publication of the ARTO regulations, amongst the feedbacks that we got from the public is that you know, the services are not easily available. And it is our view that this will amplify that concern and make sure that you know, people are able to engage with the ARTO service. We have conducted a readiness assessment in the Republic, and we are sitting at 69.73% in terms of municipal readiness. We are targeting to implement about 90% of issuing authorities on the 1st of July, which may be reviewed. There's currently discussions between the ministry as well as the board on trying to relook at whether 90% is an ideal number given the native downtime. And we may come back to the portfolio committee and advise on a revised figure. But the initial intention was to ensure that 90% of issuing authorities go live on the 1st of July and ensure that we actually implement ARTO. We are providing support to the issuing authorities to make sure that they are ready. We are working in collaboration with the RTMC, who is providing IT equipment as well as providing training to these issuing authorities to make sure that they are ready. We intend to make sure that 80% of issuing authorities go live in the second quarter, 5 in the third quarter, 4 in the last quarter, although the ideal is to have 90% all go live on the 1st of July this year. One of the key mandates, Honorable Chair, is the importance of adjudicating over-representations within 21 days. We have also put this on the dashboard so that we monitor this, the importance of this compliance. We have been having challenges with ensuring that we comply with the 21 days, but we have since deployed systems and we are working on a further recruitment of additional adjudication officers to make sure that we are able to deal with representations that we are going to receive post the 1st of July, so that we are able to keep to the 21 days wherein we adjudicate over 100%. Of received adjudication. That concludes output indicators of program 2. I'm going to program 3. In program 3, we focused on ARTO information and analytics. And one of the key things that we intend doing there is to ensure that we revamp the ARTO web portal. We have already launched the ARTO web portal. You will note that if you go onto the internet, there is a new ARTO web portal, phase one. And during the third quarter, we intend ensuring that there is phase two of the web portal, wherein the point demerit system, appeals tribunal, as well as point demerit system functionalities are available on the ARTO web portal. This is one of the efforts that we are making to ensure that all the ARTO services are digitized, are available internationally at the convenience of a road user. Chair, with your permission, I'm going to skip this one. During discussions with the department, we were advised that we already have an existing system and there is no need for us to reintroduce a new thing, and I'm not going to talk to that. Honorable Chair, one of the things that we have prioritized in the year under review is the importance of research in improving the ARTO services. For example, the point demerit system, if you know the current point demerit system, is just a traditional point demerit system. But if you look at overseas countries, you'll know that your point demerit system applies differently, for example, over weekends and over critical times where there's a lot of fatalities. And we'd like to engage in research to try and see what is it that we can do to amplify our own ARTO in the point demerit systems, amongst others. One of the priorities in the research is the importance of researching how we can support issuing authorities and the RTMC, amongst others, in making sure that we develop new enforcement mechanisms that enable law enforcement to look at drug enforcement. We currently have very successful alcohol enforcement mechanisms in the country, your bus buses and so on. But now we need to go and move to being able to test the content of drugs like nyaope and so on the motorists. And that is one of the focus areas that we'll be targeting during the year under review. I'm moving to program four, which deals with governance. Chair, the RTIA has been relatively a small organization. And one of the important things that we have embarked upon during the year under review is to make sure that we have a revised organizational structure that will cater for an ARTO rollout that is available countrywide. We are looking at ensuring that we have a 90% occupancy rate in the country, wherein we only have a gap of about 10% at any given time. We intend embarking on different recruitment drives to ensure that during the ARTO rollout we have sufficient staff and we are able to service all motorists in all provinces, including rural areas. We have also prioritized the importance of developing a new ICT strategy, where we are going to assess the COVID-19 implementation. And the view for the year under review is to ensure that we implement at least two strategic indicators in the ICT strategy so that we are alive to the latest developments in the world. We have also deemed it prudent to pay a lot of focus on audit findings. That we decrease the number of audit findings, more so that we have not fared very well in the previous financial year.
I do apologize, Doc. Is the chairperson online?
I'm looking at you.
Chairperson, I wrote on the comment section, but I see that my comment was not taken into account. Can the Honorable Doctor go to slideshow so that he can just enlarge the presentation?
Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Chair, I have a problem with my system. Even if I go to slideshow, It remains on the previous slide. That's why my first slide could not be seen by the honorable members. So I'm trying to operate it manually. My apologies for that. Is the slide now on slideshow?
Can you see Honorable Sikolo?
Chair, I can see. What I wanted to suggest was that the Honorable Doc go to slideshow and enlarge the presentation. Go to slideshow, and then you choose how you want to present so that it can be on the screen and not show the margins as they are seen here.
Oh, okay.
But if that's not possible, we can proceed, Chair. It's not it's a no-brainer, really.
Okay. Doctor,
my apologies. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
And continue because time is not on your side. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We are intending to develop an audit action plan to address all the audit findings and ensure that we do not have repeat audit findings during the year under review. We are also planning to introduce a new call center or customer relations management call center system, which will be able to enable the RTIA to have memory of who called and who logged on to the system, so that when a caller makes a call for the third time, we don't have to, you know, ask the details of the caller, and that the system is able to recognize the caller without any challenge. We have also planned to ensure that we spend 50% of the allocated budget by the end of the first quarter. We are already running into problems. However, it was prudent that we have all the necessary requirements to ensure that we roll out successfully on the 1st of July. However, we are committed to ensure that we spend 100% of the allocated budget within the year, as indicated there. This is an indicator that the Deputy Minister spoke to, where the Ministry intends to rationalize all law enforcement functions under one. I'm not going to talk to it because the DM has already addressed it. This indicator deals with the importance of the RTIA responding to 100% of parliamentary questions within the prescribed time frame. It's something that we have prioritized, and we will account to the department on a biannual basis on how we're faring on that particular indicator. We also intend resolving 95% of reported cases of corruption within the shortest time possible. We have already developed a policy that deals with integrity and anti-corruption, and our intention was to make sure that we live up to this commitment that we are making in the APP. The agency also has already commenced with the appointment and establishment of ethics committees that will ensure that the levels of integrity in the organization are amplified. To monitor that, we'll ensure that there are biannual reports, one in the second quarter and one in the fourth quarter during the year under review. We would also like to reduce wasteful and fruitless expenditure. In the past 10 years, we have not really had wasteful and fruitless expenditure. However, we intend to maintain a 0% of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We'll also report biannually on the progress made in this regard. We also want to reduce a 50% reduction of cases of irregular expenditure. We have also experienced same in the previous financial year, which we never experienced previously. But it is our intention to keep it at actually to maintain a zero where possible. will also submit biannual reports to report on the progress that is made in that regard as well. We also want to ensure that we keep to a 30-day payment turnaround time to our suppliers. We'll also ensure that 100% of them are, you know, paid in the required time frame, and we'll report biannually to make sure that we comply with that particular deliverable. Program 5, that deals with the national rollout. We are prioritizing establishing an ARTO national footprint, because currently the RTIA is only present in Johannesburg and Tshwane. We have one service outlet in Mbombela, and we intend rolling out 50 service outlets in all 44 districts in the Republic. We also intend augmenting the 50 service outlets with 50 self-service kiosks, where we can put this either in malls or DLTCs, where we facilitate a situation where road users or motorists can access the ARTO services anywhere in the country. We also plan to establish 9 functional RTIA offices in the Republic, so that the ARTO is close to the people, and that the all issuing authorities receive support from the RTIA instead of the current situation where, you know, each province has got to call Pretoria when there are issues of ARTO. We also intend filling the 50 service outlets with 100 positions, where we prioritize the youth, women, and people living with disabilities to fill the 100 positions. We will also pay attention to rural areas through our mobile bus strategy. We're intending to have a minimum of about 18 buses, you know, where there'll be like mobile buses or mobile offices, and they'll be occupied by, you know, members of the community that will be working for ARTO, and they will ensure that the country is sufficiently represented in the group of people that will be employed there. Chair, I'm now going to focus on the finance side. Acting Registrar, I'm not sure if I can hand over to Mr. Maji.
Mr. Maji.
Yes, you can go ahead.
Mr. Maji.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, Deputy Minister. As Deputy Minister has indicated during her opening remark, is that we are going to realign this budget with the ENE allocation that was approved by the Minister of Finance. What happened is that when we did these projections was before the Minister of Finance approving this budget. So as a result, we need to refine it so that we align it to the Minister of Finance ENE allocation budget that was approved. Chair, in terms of our budget breakdowns, I must indicate, Chair, that we've got, we have received an allocation of 215 million that will be used towards rolling out of ARTO. And in the main, these monies will be used for items like, for instance, in raising and educating road users about ARTO, of which we are going to use close to 80 million. That will be used for instance, for traditional media, radio and print media. And also we are looking in terms of digitization, whereby we'll be using Facebook and mobile bus services. We'll be using SMS campaigns to communicate with road users, Chair. And also, Chair, will be exploring this electronic saving, whereby we are trying to move away from the traditional posting of normal mails or the registered mail, which is not effective for us, in a sense that we know there are challenges in terms of support delivering these services to our infringers, and also it is costly for us, Chairperson, as the entity. So hence we are exploring this electronic setting whereby we'll be using the conventional electronic means of sending these notices, Chair. And also we are going to set up a tribunal, appeal tribunal. So as the entity, will be supporting this appeal tribunal, Chair. And then we have budgeted 24 million. This 24 million, it will include the fees that we'll be paying to these tribunal members, as well as the related support that will be provided by this entity, Chair. We are also going to implement the rehabilitation programs, Chair. And then we have budgeted 13 million. And then we are also introducing a driving simulators where we'll be dealing with delinquent drivers that will be undergoing this rehabilitation program, Chair. And then we'll also augment our existing capacity, Chair, as we'll be rolling out this R2 nationally. So as a result, we'll need more homebodies, Chair. And then we'll be also using the service outlets. So this service outlets, normally what will happen is that we use this service outlet to serve our clients that are in a remote areas, Chair. And then we're also exploring this self-help kiosk, whereby we'll be deploying these tools in public areas, whereby general public will be able to access ARTO-related services, and also be educating road safety messages to our road users and community at large. We have also allocated 3 million for customer relations management system, Chair. As DR has indicated, the Deputy Registrar, Dr. Manyapao, will be looking in terms of improving our customer service systems.
Chairperson, sorry, point of order, Chair. I'm sorry again, Chair. Where are you talking to the presenter? The 3 million, for instance, you're talking, where is it on the presentation there so that we can follow? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, CFO or AT.
My apologies, Chair. Let me share my screen actually, so that members can. Dr. Manyapao, can you allow me to share my presentation?
Yes. Hey, yeah.
Good to see.
You are running out of time, sir. But what do you say?
Honorable Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe in the interest of time, we have compiled the itemized budget, breaking down the 200 million for the rollout. If maybe that document can be shared as a supplementary document for the chair and the members in the interest of time.
I think that will assist us.
So that we don't take the presentation and we allow General to finalize all what we are saying, we'll revise this based on the revised budget by the Minister of Finance.
Yeah, I think in the interest of time, let's allow that. Acting Deputy Registrar.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Yes. Yes, Doctor.
Thank you, Chair. At a very high level, top 5 APP strategic risks. Honorable Chair, during consultation with provinces with the introduction of ARTO, there was a concern raised that with the current continued natives downtime, the introduction of ARTO might cause further natives downtime. But we are aware that the RTMC is working on it. They are also procuring new servers with big memory for improved system experience. We have also identified the support service to issuing authorities as a risk because we're losing a lot of revenue resulting from delayed postage from SAPO, inability to adequately resource the agency because of delays, financial delays, identified irregularities in compliance and reporting processes as noted in the previous annual report. It has been important for us to introduce new governance and control systems to ensure that we go back to the clean audit, as well as ineffective ICT enablement. That is why we have identified the need for us to develop a new ICT strategy, Chair. Way forward, I have already indicated that we have commenced with the implementation of the approved APP. However, there will be a possible review of the APP as tabled, mainly because of the E&E figures that have moved from about 800 million to 518 million. And we look forward to re-table another APP after approval from the ministry, Honorable Chair. Chair, that concludes the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Munipa Kaine. And the acting deputy registrar, am I correct?
Acting registrar.
Acting registrar. Deputy registrar, Kimangi doctor.
Doctor.
Oh, okay. Unsarele acting registrar. Okay. Let's allow members to ask some questions. Let me see hands of members who Honorable Lawrence McDonald. You are the first one. And then Ubaba Ulisa Wagamani, Ubaba Uketa Mabala, those are the three hands. In that order, please. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I welcome the presentation. Although I'm a bit concerned about all the acting and suspension and mayhem in the board there, but Chairperson, I'm a bit I have one question here. Why is there a target of 75% reduction in fruitless and wasteful expenditure? That is definitely a target that should be at 100%, Chairperson. I think I am 100% sure that we have, as a portfolio committee, already stated categorically that there must be an end in all this wasteful and fruitless expenditure in the entities of this department. And then, Chairperson, question that I would like to know is...
Honorable McDonald, did I hear you well when you said you only have one question?
Chairperson, I'm sorry. As I conclude, Chairperson, I'll be very quick, Chairperson. I just wanted to know that the advertisement campaign, will black companies and BBE companies benefit in this advertising? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. The following Honorable Member is Ubaba Ulisa Wagwamani.
I will not make a mistake of saying how many questions I have. It's a very, very suicidal one, Honorable MacDonald. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, DM. Maybe let me leave it there because the rest is a bit confusing below you. But everybody is led by you. My first question, Acting Registrar, when was the board appointed? Do we have board members in the meeting now? I had the apology of the chairperson. So first question is, when was it appointed? What is your budget for the board meetings, remuneration, whatever it is? How much has been spent? And are your boards paid per meeting or is it a standard one? That's my first one question in three. Now, I would like to know, there was a mention about SAPO and the problems, which I think are well documented, of your mailing process with SAPO. I would like to know, what are the costs that you have incurred there? What have been the percentage of returned mail not delivered? And what have been the costs as it relates to that? And how have you treated it in terms of accounting? Now the presenter, which I forget which one, was speaking about SAPO will get involved in the electronic distribution of notices in future. I don't know where SAPO comes in, if you could explain to us that. Now you said one of your risks is the notice downtime. Question is, what is the percentage downtime of notice? And to what extent do you link that risk? And what is your mitigating factors there? Good to tell us the risk, but what are your mitigating, what are you putting in plan? Now, you said, I think it's slide 12, I lost count at some stage, but you were talking about the rollout of art of fully roll out. You said you are rolling out end of July or beginning, let's say July, and you said 90%. But the next slide, you said on the second quarter, you'd have done 80%, 5%, and 5%. I don't know how that you come to it, because if July is 90% and we are in May now, which is the second month of the first quarter, I don't know how you get to that. Now you spoke about an NRTOR system developed. What is NRTOR being developed? I tried to look for the full wording of it. I couldn't find it. And it would appear that there's still a lot that you are still going to do. What is very, very disheartening is that you are still planning to develop an audit finding plan. I don't know what your audit outcome has been so far. I might have missed it, but you are going to develop an audit finding plan. Maybe the question is, what has been your audit finding, and why don't you have a plan? By when will it be developed? Because it looks very, very unrealistic. You are talking about the establishment of an appeals tribunal. Whose responsibility is it? Is it in your act to establish this tribunal? And if it is yet to be established before the national rollout by July, what are your time frames there? Of course, if the first question will be relevant in answering that. So there's so much in this presentation that requires so many questions. If it were according to me, I would ask this presentation to come back again, because I think it is very much in a situation that is very, very concerning.
So 360 campaigns, I think is what you said, in 2020-21 period. And then you drastically reduced the targets to 32 per annum in 2021-2022, 48 in 2022-23, and 72. Can you explain to me how we get to that? From 36 to those, it just doesn't gel up with me. Yes, let this be the last one, Chair, but there are so many. Very depressing presentation. Very, very, very depressing, I must say. But let me rather leave it here. You operated for majority of the years as an entity since establishment with a clean or unqualified audit. So what is your new objective now in terms of achieving? How do you have this new objective? I think it's in slide 20, if I'm correct. Chair, those is quite a lot of questions. It is out of frustration because I think the presentation is quite depressing, to say the least. But I guess we need to try and find how do we panel beat what is in front of us to take it forward. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity given.
Baba, Ujobe, okwazi ukukhetha amabali.
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, some of my questions have been covered by Honorable Mang, but there's only two that I need to get some clarification on it. The first one is that they talk about education and awareness. Do they have any system to use pamphlets? Because according to what they say, they are going to use media and other actual institutions. If they can give us if they do have a pamphlet to distribute it to drivers. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of the RTIA was operating in Johannesburg and so on. Now they are talking about the ATO would be establishing national footprint. I'm trying to check, do they have offices in all the provinces that they are going to deal with it, because it was operating in only two metros. Thank you very much, Chair.
You have respected what you gave me to the two questions. Thank you very much for that. Deputy Minister.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Let me indicate that Honorable Manu has made a very telling story, which from where I am seated, he is demanding that we should come back with a better presentation, which I fully agree with. And having said that, I need to indicate that I have observed one member of the board, Mr. Mpatsele, who is here, and I think on behalf of the board members, he definitely will be able to indicate what has been outlined by members here with respect to the presentation. But I think I definitely will be able to sit down with the acting registrar and together with the board members so that we can be able to panel beat, because the questions that Honorable Mangu has raised are really very telling questions, which an indication that there is something that needs to be perfected or be shaped in such a way that it will be able to give a sense of monitoring to the portfolio committee. And having said that, I would request Dalian, together with the team, to respond to the questions as have been asked by honourable members. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister. Medically, Makazi. Me Elian Mabula, the acting registrar.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will answer some questions and some will be addressed by the colleagues that I'm here with. And yes, indeed, that is the reason why, Chairperson, we propose that there will be a need to amend this APP. The revised, maybe when we come back, as the members have proposed, some will be, all matters raised here will be attended to, as the Deputy Minister will be also working with us and the board. The board started in last year in August. They were confirmed by the Cabinet last year, August 2020. So on the financial matters, the CFO will answer. The other question around the notice downtime as a risk, a system as always, sometimes we are experiencing some challenges where there will be some a system where it's down, because we do experience sometimes where e-notice will be down. But now RTMC, hence we are saying that in terms of the system is the mandate of RTMC, but we are highly depending on the system to provide the administrative functions for the adjudication process. But RTMC is working hard around the clock because the system was established in 2008. We have been informed that they are currently upgrading and refreshing the system so that when the system will be carrying out the functions of our rollout, we are not frustrating the motorists out there, and then we don't compromise the law enforcement in the country. And also on the issue of the 90% assessment, the RTS since the pilot of Chan and Joburg in 2011, they've been working with the provinces and issuing authorities trying to come up with what are the deliverables for the national rollout, where now they did some readiness assessment so that when we roll out, we do believe that the in issuing authorities having the necessary equipment, the necessary stationery, the network, the natives is up and running, so that we also implement the RTO rollout effectively. So that was the assessment task that was undertaken by the entity. But based on the current establishments, we are also now looking at review, because the assessment was completed in 2019-20. Last year, due to COVID, that exercise was not done, but there are some issuing authorities that have already written to us that they are ready for the national rollout. So on the development of the implementation of ATSA, I believe that maybe that one was an oversight matter. What is currently happening, we have developed an action plan to implement the Auditor General findings for 2019-20. We are currently implementing that. And then in terms of the 2021-2022, we'll be reporting progress in terms of the implementation, not that necessary that we'll be starting to develop the action plan. It's already been developed. We do have it. Currently, I think the challenge from our side, we have implemented a lot of the findings there. Other findings that are relating to the AGSA as pending to the investigation will be addressed once we finalize that particular area, because we need the investigation to be concluded, because they were residing around those areas. The establishment of tribunal, yes, in terms of the act, the department is the one that is leading, that is establishing the tribunal. The entity is providing the secretariat function in that particular space. I think I will leave it there, Chair, and I will allow my colleagues to respond to other questions. General and Key first.
Thank you, Acting Registrar. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, yeah, it is indeed the fact that the black companies will benefit from the
whatever project that we put out there, we will prioritize black companies, particularly the youth and women, in response to Honorable McDonald. With regards to slide 12 on the 90% targeted issuing authorities for rollout, 90% was the annual target broken down into three, 80%, 5%, and 5%, which makes it 90%. The question on what is the NRTOR, members will remember that I requested not to speak to that. In the Amendment Act, NRTOR is defined as the National Road Traffic Offences Register. It's basically the NCR, which is based on the E-Natives. And I did indicate that the view is that there is no need for us to develop a new system. We have an existing system which is working well, and we can only amplify that existing system instead of developing a new system. The acting registrar has already responded to the audit action plan. I'm not going to speak to it. Honorable Mangu asked a question about who has to establish the appeals tribunal. The Department of Transport is responsible to establish the appeals tribunal, but the RTIA has the duty to support the appeals tribunal. As we speak now, there is a shortlisting of the appeals tribunal today. We anticipate that their final appointment should be concluded by the end of May 2021. We note that the presentation needs to come back. There was also a question around why move from 360 campaigns to a lower number. Honorable Chair, in the previous financial year, a campaign in the technical descriptor was defined as one social media post. And we're of the view that it is very little, because a campaign is actually a series of activities. And it was our view that let us rather have fewer campaigns with a lot of activities. For example, we have targeted that the campaign should have not less than five national activities, which will actually exceed the 360 that was performed in the previous financial year. The question around the education and awareness from Honorable Mabala, whether the organization has pamphlets, yes, correct. We have pamphlets for all the campaigns where we talk about legislative education, you know, ARTO options, and so on. We are currently working with the GCIS to amplify that. We also have what we call ARTO Friday, where we actually distribute these pamphlets to road users. There was also a question on whether we have offices throughout the country. Yes, we are working with the current municipalities. We have entered into MOUs, and they have given us office space, Honorable Chair, in all the identified areas where we would like to operate. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. First comment relating to from honorable member McDonald regarding to the 75 target reduction in terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Chair, I must indicate that currently there's an investigation that is still going on, which relates to some of the audit findings, of which is not yet concluded. So hence we are saying 75, because that will be determined by the outcome of those investigations. However, we are striving to have 100% a reduction in terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because that does not give a good picture in terms of accounting for the money that has been allocated to us. And then as an agency, we are striving to move to 100%. However, because of this ongoing investigation, we couldn't say 100%. So hence we say 75%, because of this matter that's still under investigation. And Umfundisi referenced Lisa Mangwe. He wanted to know how much budget did we make for the board members. We have made a budget provision of 3 million, of which 2.9 has been spent to date, Chair.
And then, yes, our board members are paid per meeting. So basically they are paid per meetings. We pay them for preparations, and then we pay them for the day that they spend on in attending that meeting. And the rates are being determined by National Treasury, Chair. With regard to the percentage of retained mail, Chair, I must indicate that that is a headache to this entity. However, our agreement with post office is that we are only going to pay for only postage that has been successfully posted to our infringers. So therefore, we don't account for the retained mail, Chair. So we don't spend much, so therefore we don't account for that, Chair. I think that's all from my side, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Your name is Kaifas,
Chair.
Oh, Kaifas. Oh, Kaifas,
yes.
M.
Yes.
Okay.
Maji, Chair.
Oh, Maji.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, that is Maji. Thank you very much. I think the department, we have heard you that you need to do some work and bring the work back. And I also have to say, from where we are seated, if the department is dealing with issues of discipline for any other matter that should be dealt with at the level of the entities, we should, as a portfolio committee, be seen supporting that initiative by the department. But, I think it was a day before yesterday that it took the department about 3 years to discipline a head of the institution. We are making a plea, Deputy Minister, that this suspension should be dealt with speedily and be finalized, because it puts us at the in a position where we can't categorically say the failure is with the MTT or the department, because the department is acting at the level of this MTT registrar, and I'm sure acting CFO. So let's try and resolve these issues speedily, so that they do not affect the performance by this MTT. DM, this is the second MTT this week where we are expressing some happiness in terms of the quality of the work that is being done and the level of the entity compared to other entities. I remember we had SAMHSA, which was found in the 60s and 90s, and now we're talking about Artea. It is our wish that the department should pay more attention, at least for now, to these two entities. Going forward, we will also keep an eye and ensure that we can assist where we are supposed to assist. Otherwise, let me thank Artea for the endeavors that they are doing, and release them to go and do some work. As I've said, we'll keep an eye. Thank you very much, Doctor, and your team, and acting registrar. Thank you very much. You are liberated.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, members.
Now we have
Road Traffic Management Corporation, RTA and RTMC. At some point, I thought that the department will have a view of combining these two entities because I see their work blending, but it's okay. Are we having RTMC in our midst, RTMC Zoom, WP Coast? I can see that. Is